So another very practical issue that really only has come on the scene relatively recently in colon cancer is the issue of sidedness. You've been involved with the research. There's been a lot of work that's been published in the last couple of years. Can you kind of summarize it and particularly focus on where it fits in from a practical clinical perspective, sort of outside a trial?
Right. So if you think back, this is something that shouldn't have surprised us. If you think of the embryology, of course, you remember your embryology.
Right.
We all do. I think I missed that class in medical school.
But I missed a lot of classes in medical school.
Yeah, you and me both. The right side of the colon comes from the midgut, and the left side comes from the hindgut, and they merge during embryogenesis. And the transverse colon is somewhere is right and somewhere is left of origin. So it shouldn't surprise us that there'd be a biology that's different right versus left. For many years, people had observed that patients with right-sided primaries don't do as well, but the assumption was always, well, the disease presents later in its course. The stool is liquid on the right side, the colon is large, and it's much less likely that you'll get obstructive symptoms. And so people said, well, you just have more disease because there's a time lag, and that could have been. I had no clue that this was as meaningful a difference as it turns out to be. I was motivated to look, one, because we started realizing there were genetic molecular features that were more so on the right than the left, let's say, BRAF mutations more commonly on right-sided. So it led some of us to think, geez, maybe there's a difference. And then there's an old study published in 2001 of a 5 different regimens of 5-FU that in fact showed a 5-month delta in survival, left primaries better than right. That's what motivated me to go in and look at every chart and figure out sidedness in retrospect because we hadn't collected the data prospectively. And I was flabbergasted that there was a 13 or 14 month difference in all the patients left versus right. And then as we started drilling down, it's very clear that patients with right-sided cancers, independent of their RAS status, get almost no benefit, if any at all, from the EGFR antibodies. So the practical impact is, while I think it's appropriate to do molecular analyses on our patients to really identify where they might head initially or certainly beyond first line, I think it's clear that patients with right-sided primaries, you don't need a RAS mutated or not to know that you shouldn't use EGFR antibodies on first line. Whether you can use EGFR antibodies subsequently in patients with right-sided tumors is not so clear. Remember, all the studies that have really looked at this except one were really restricted to first line. And now how somebody could get benefit subsequent line but not first line, I'm not quite sure biologically, but we don't know that these patients stand to get no benefit from EGFR antibodies. Our study clearly showed that the group that did the worst by far were the group that had right-sided primaries who got cetuximab in our study.
When you talk about a 13 or 14-month difference, specifically in what?
So in overall survival, so in our study, in the whole group, if you look at all the KRAS, just the fundamental first analysis, which was just published in JAMA a few months ago, the KRAS wild-type group was about a 32 versus 19-month survival left versus right, which is really stunning. I mean, that's a big difference. And you'd think, like, what were we thinking that we didn't realize this? And then what we further did at ASCO this year, Federico Innocenti and Heinz-Joseph Lenz presented our data on looking at all the molecular features of the cancers. And in fact, we found that sidedness is still prognostic even when you incorporate all the other molecular information. BRAF, which of course patients with BRAF mutations have a poor prognosis. Those tend to be right-sided. MSI high patients tend to be right-sided. Those patients do better without metastatic disease, but don't do so well with metastatic disease. Even when you add all of these factors in, it turns out sidedness remained prognostic. I think that just means we haven't figured out yet what the biology is. It's not like right versus left. There's got to be some biological explanation. We haven't gotten it yet, though.
Now, I assume that the explanation is not related to the issue of EGFR antibodies.
Correct. I think it's not. My bet is it's got something to do with the stem cells, which would be the tissues of origin, or something like that. The other black hole, the black box that we have no idea really where it's contributing, but I bet it is the biome. And clearly there is some evidence that the bacteria from the left colon to the right colon is different. And in particular, I mean, it's astonishing if you really dig into this literature, we see that you can find bacterial DNA in mets in the patients with liver mets. I mean, how bizarre is that? So I can't explain it, but that's probably a factor.
So from a practical point of view, other than, you know, just the prognostic implications of this and also EGFR antibodies, which at least in the United States, I think are not very commonly used first line anyhow, What is the practical implication? Do you think that in a patient with a right-sided lesion, maybe you think about triplet therapy, for example, more often, even without BRAF?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, yes, probably so. That's how we treat most of our patients these days. When you get the new patient, it may be 2-3 weeks before you'll get the molecular analysis. So even if you're a right-sided patient, you don't need to know their RAS status, unless if they're RAS mutant, then they don't have a BRAF mutation. The two of those don't go together. If they're RAS wild type, you'd like to know BRAF and be poised to move them on to something else, because those patients may do reasonably well first line, but really don't do well down the road. And as you know from the TRIBE study from Italy, clearly patients with the triplet FOLFOXIRI do better with BRAF mutations than if you treat them with the doublets. So as a default, if you don't know the BRAF status in patients, especially if they have a lot of disease, we tend to err on the side of triplet therapy up front, and then usually we drop the oxali in a month or two if they're doing well.